turn off your Wi-Fi, you can put your phone on airplane mode. You can go to your Wi-Fi settings as well and make sure you forget the Uni Wireless and Eduroam. Just because the university loves tracking and surveilling its students, and we don't want that happening. Also, just like make sure that you are covering your face or like identifying yourself for like your own safety, because there are police around and security is also around. If you're a student or a staff member and the university asks for your student ID or staff member ID, just feel free to ignore them and walk away. You can just say, I forgot it. Don't give them your details. Today marks 77 years of NACBA, which, if you don't know what NACBA stands for, it means catastrophe, where more than 9,000 Palestinians were ethnically cleansed from their villages, towns, and cities. Zionist Jewish militias destroyed more than 550 Palestinian villages. Today, the Nakba is not just a memory, it's an ongoing reality of 77 years of settler colonial violence, genocide, and apartheid. And the University of Melbourne likes to forget that. They like to pretend that they don't know what genocide or apartheid means when it comes to Palestine. In 50, 100 years from now, they will celebrate this movement. They will put it up in their museums, they'll put it up in their buildings and their libraries, and they will say the brave students and staff of UniMelb led the Palestine movement. But they're not going to do that now.
Shame.
And we know that because we know what happened during the Vietnam War. We know what happened during South Africa apartheid. We know what happened on these lands when students were like leading the movement for Indigenous rights. Now the law school puts up posters of students and Indigenous people who are fighting for Indigenous rights. But back then it was controversial, just like how standing up for Palestinian rights is controversial right now. If you say it's a genocide and you're a staff member, apparently that gets you a disciplinary hearing. Apparently that gets them. Apparently the university can go and say that it's not a genocide. Students from this university are facing repression. We've got students facing misconduct, expulsion, suspension, purely for saying it's a genocide, for standing for Palestinian rights. The university last week called police on their own students and confronted them with arrests, with move-on orders. Six police officers showed up on South Lawn last week on Thursday. Six police officers. And today we have cops surrounding university, because apparently we're dangerous. We're a threat to this university. I don't accept that. And I will use my voice to advocate for Palestine. And I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to be scared because of misconduct. I'm not going to be scared of police. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to stand here with my friends, with my colleagues, with people at this university who've been fighting for Palestinian rights for a long time. And the university is not going to do a single thing about it. They'll try to threaten you that if you protest indoors, that you'll get misconduct. Then give us all misconduct. They'll try and threaten you that if you sit on South Lawn and set up an encampment, you'll face misconduct. You'll face arrests. We're stronger in numbers. Remember that. The more of us here showing them that it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable that when we call a genocide, we're threatened, we're oppressed within our schools. I'm a law student. The law school has done jack shit about Palestine. They've been silent. We've got lawyers who say they're human rights lawyers who say they care about international law, and they're silent. They're silent on genocide. I pay to go to this university. All of us pay to go to this university. And so we have a right to show up here and to protest. We have a right to not be threatened. We have a right to express our opinions. The IRA definition that the university has adopted for apparently freedom of speech has been used to repress staff members, has been used to repress students. You can't even say that, you know, like, you can't even say Zionist. And that's crazy. Like, it's crazy that we can't stand here and say the Zionist state of Israel is committing a genocide on Palestinian land, because that's what's happening. That's a fact, that's a truth. And I'm not ashamed to admit it, I'm not scared to admit it. I don't care if that costs me anything. I don't care if it costs me opportunities, I don't care if it costs me my job. That's the truth, and that's what I believe in. And that's what we all believe in, and that's why we're all here. Now our second speaker is, you might have heard of her, Raneem Abu Usnid. She's a Palestinian-Australian dental student at GNML. Raneem is 20 years old, dental student at the university, who was severely injured in the unlawfully occupied West Bank on the 15th of November 2024, when Israeli forces fired live rounds into her university dorm window. If Raneem can come.
Hi everyone. My name is Raneem Tariq Abu Usnaid. I was a dentistry student at Al-Quds University. And I've been studying there for around 3 years. Unfortunately, while I was at my dorm, I got shot, sniped out to be exact, through the window. By an explosive, with an explosive bullet. And thankfully, the bullet did not actually hit me, but the pieces of shrapnel from that explosive bullet hit my face, my chest, and caused the loss of my eye. Today, as a Palestinian student, I'm here to talk about the experiences of other Palestinian students in the West Bank. This is not about Gaza. We are in the West Bank. The land that is supposed to be, well, on the other side of the border, the supposedly unoccupied land, the supposedly safe land. Now, to be honest, I'm not gonna lie. It was never safe in the first place. Or let's say, for Palestinians, the word safe has a different definition. The word safe means that you could die today, or you couldn't, but, you know, it's most likely not gonna happen. That's what safe means in Palestine. Safe means in Palestine that today you might get shot, you might not get shot, but what are the chances? That's what safe means. Every single day, we show up at uni, at least twice or three times a week. The border officers have to show up with stun grenades, smoke bombs, live rounds of bullets. We have stuff at our university that I believe never existed at any other. We have something called an onion guard. Now, this might seem weird to most of you, but when there are a lot of smoke bombs in the area, onions are basically the only thing that would prevent a student from fainting. That's the type of preparation that we have every single day. We don't have to worry about our studies, we don't have to worry about our grades, we worry about bigger stuff. We worry about those, but we also have to worry about the live rounds of bullets. We also have to worry about the chemicals that burn our chests, that burn our lungs. The students that are bleeding all over the place, that happens on a weekly basis. I am merely one of those many students. I was shot and I was supposed to be dead. Thankfully, I'm alive, but I'm only one of many stories. This is only Al-Quds University, one of many other universities. Now, the funny thing is that not a few kilometers from where Al-Quds University is, there stands the University of Hebrew, where students thrive to live their university lives, get to experience the world and what it means to work on your career and become successful, when what we worry about is whether we're going to live to see the next day. Sometimes we lose hope. Sometimes we really do lose hope. Sometimes it feels like, what is the point of all of this? If we're at the end of the day gonna get killed and smoked and we're gonna bleed, what's the point of all of this? Why study? But then when there's a student on the floor who's bleeding, it's only us medical students who can actually help the student. There was a doctor in Gaza, a dentist in Gaza. She had a patient and her patient had a broken jaw. She did not have the equipment to fix his jaw, and what she did was amazing. She pulled out the metal rod that is in this mask that I'm wearing right now and strapped it to his jaw. That's because of her knowledge. That's because she knew what she was doing. She knew that the stuff that she was going to be using, she knew how to use other stuff to fix that patient. And that's when we get the passion to go on and study on and continue on what we are doing. Most students at Al-Quds University are medical students. From doctors to dentists, to nurses, to pharmacists. And that's our everyday lives. Making sure other students are safe, making sure that we're in safe regions. We have WhatsApp groups that are basically supposed to tell you where to go and where not to go on campus, when it's safe and when it's not safe. And I'm merely one story. Ahed al-Masalma, a friend of mine, she was shot with the exact same sort of bullet I was shot. But the only difference, that is unfortunately, the bullet actually hit her. We had to watch pictures and videos of her cracked skull and her brains all over the floor for days to come. But did it just stand at that? Did it just come to that? Not a few days after Ahed came our other friend Muhammad. Got shot in the abdomen while he was going off to one of the hospitals that he was practicing in. Dead. Now
evil.
He's dead.
Evil!
And that's what we live through every single day. That's what we live through every single day from one university to the next. I repeat again, I am merely one of thousands of students who suffer this pain. This is the safe land. These are the parts of the lands that are safe. Imagine that. This is the part of the land that is safe. We're not even going to discuss the parts that are not safe, the parts where you're not supposed to be, the lands of your ancestors, the lands of your grandfathers that you are not supposed to be in. In Abu Dis, many, many, many of the locals suffer because of this thing. In Palestine, many ask, in my case, they ask, what was I doing there in Abu Dis? Why were you in Abu Dis? If you could have been here, if my family were here in Australia, they were in Melbourne, why was I in Abu Dis? And I'll tell you this. I have the right to be where the tree that my greatest grandfather planted in the land. There are olive trees that were planted by my grandfathers that are older than the existence of Israel. The olive tree where me and my family grew up, under its shade, under the shades of that olive tree, is around 200 years old. It's older than the state of Israel and its existence. I am Renin. I am the daughter of Tariq, the daughter, the son of Muhammad, the son of Mahmoud, the son of Salami, the son of Khalil. I am one of the daughters of Hebron. My lineage is as old and as long as it could be, and I'm merely one of many, many other students, many other families. These olive trees, the shades that we always grew up in, is a place you will always find us. No matter what they do, or no matter what they fight for, we will always stay standing. I don't care if I bleed, and I don't mind if I lose another eyeball. If it means for me to be where I'm supposed to be, in the land of my grandfathers, then I shall gladly pluck out my other eye for you. Now, under the shades of that same olive tree, are growing and we are raising the sons and daughters of my cousins. And this will continue to be. We will continue to multiply, and we will multiply, and we are not going anywhere. For not even a speck of dust, for not even a speck of land, will we give up. And we don't care how much we bleed. My eye now lies in the land of Abu Dis in Palestine. That's where my eye has died and where it lies. and I would gladly, any day, follow it back to that place. So you can do as you wish, and you can bring upon us whatever agony you see fit. But I will tell you one thing, we will continue to fight, and we will continue to bleed, and our blood will become one with this land, one with the land of our ancestors. If it means that we shall die under the shades of those olive trees, so be it. Last of all, I would like to pay respect to our indigenous brothers and sisters of this land, the Aboriginal people. I feel your pain. I understand what you have been through. I too am going through the same thing. Our freedom, even though we are shackled, even though we cannot act as we wish freely, even though our lands are being stolen from others, even if we are shackled, we are still free, no matter how tight the shackles are.